It's just that I'm not good at cooking. And the other person does better. Let him do the cooking all the time, because otherwise you don't enjoy my cooking. So it's not that I'm really willing to cook. But you see, I am not a good cook. That's why I never cook. So if we talk about my witness at home, what witness? We haven't got a witness to talk about. Where are people going to see Jesus in my life? And of course, you see, Hong Kong is a place very hard to live a life of Jesus. Oh, very hard. I mean, Hong Kong people, you know what they are, you know. We can always excuse ourselves. They are so rude. I mean, anybody who has to fight his way onto a subway in the morning knows all about Hong Kong people. I mean, you don't even have to get into the train. You're carried into the train. I was going to the airport the other day. It was very comfortable. I just stood there and I was carried into the train. I thought this kind of service you cannot get anywhere else. You just stand there and the next moment you're in. That is, of course, if you're in the front. If you're in the back, that's another story. I mean, if you're in the back, you have to play rugger or American football. You lower your head and you charge in. See, that's probably why I got carried in, because somebody else did the charging. And so you see, these people are rude. And of course, being carried in is not so bad, but when you get yourself your glasses knocked off and your shoes all dirtied because somebody stepped into it and somebody elbows you into the stomach and it takes you some time to get your breath back, you say, I mean, I would be a very good Christian in North America where everybody is more polite. I would be even a better Christian in the United Kingdom, because they are even more polite people. I mean, there when you stand on the zebra stripes, the car stops right away. Here you stand on the zebra stripe and you risk your life. I mean, you risk being knocked down any moment. People haven't noticed there are such things as zebra stripes being painted on the ground. But in England, they're law-abiding people. They stop. So you can say, in England, it's easy to be a good Christian. In Hong Kong, to live the Christ life, that's another story. The truth of the matter, brothers and sisters and friends, the truth of the matter is, we can't live the life of Christ anywhere except by the Spirit of God. In the Bible, a human person is usually distinguished as body and spirit. You see that, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, and many such places in the Bible. There is body and there is spirit. The Bible speaks of a soul sometimes, but the soul, of course, is not another part of a human being. The soul simply refers to the human being as a living person. It is the life in us that keeps body and spirit together, as you say. If you die, your soul, you are no longer a living soul, and the spirit and body are said to separate. Man is constituted as being basically body and spirit. And the body of Christ is exactly the same, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit. We are the body. And we are constituted as a body by the Holy Spirit. It is He who baptizes us into Christ. When you are baptized, when you become a Christian, and we only think of the water ceremony, that is not the most important part of baptism. If you have truly entered into a living relationship with God through repentance and faith, then at baptism, the Holy Spirit puts you, baptizes you. The word baptized there simply means places you into the body of Christ. We are incorporated into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's how we become one body. And it is by His power, the power of the Spirit, that we live. The secret of understanding the functioning of the body is the Holy Spirit Himself. So this comes in practical terms. If you say, I am here visibly to show forth the life of Christ, this cannot be done except by the power of the living God. Now that is why, if God is not real, if God is not the living God, you'll have a body without a spirit. And you know what that means? James tells us in James chapter 2 what it is. A body without a spirit is dead. Dead. Because the spirit has departed. A church is dead if the spirit of the living God is not functioning in it. And the Christian is dead if the Spirit of the living God is not in control of your life. But when the Spirit of the Lord is living in you, you become a living and dynamic Christian who experiences the reality of the living God. Somewhat like what Andrew was testifying just now about even small things like rain. Many of us have experienced that over and over again. So many times we've experienced this. How God answers the prayer of those who live under His control. And this means that when you are the temple of the living God and God lives in you, then you are going to experience Him in your everyday life. You become a vital, dynamic, fruitful, and beautiful Christian. The fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in you. And when the fruit of the Spirit is manifested, that fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. And therefore, if the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in you, then people who look at you, obviously, will see Jesus in you, will they not? That is our calling and our function. And I ask you, have you been living like that? Do you live this kind of Christian life? Manifesting Christ, that people who look at you will see Jesus? That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. That whether we live, whether I live or whether I die, whether we live or whether we die, Christ will be exalted in me. Christ will be exalted in me, whether by life or by death. Have you met this kind of Christians? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that if I had not met this kind of Christians, I think it's fair to say, I will not be standing here preaching the gospel today. I would be out in the world making my money, or doing my own thing, or running my own companies, or doing whatever it is I might have been doing, instead of preaching the gospel. But when there were these Christians who, like Paul, exalted Christ by life and by death, and some of these are dead now, they chose to die for the name of Christ because they chose not to run away from China when the communists came. They showed me in their life the beauty of Jesus. A beauty that I could never forget. I couldn't run away from it. That whenever I wanted to turn to something else, the beauty of Jesus kept pulling me. I wanted to go into a military life, to become some great military commander, to have an army, to do this and that for China. But whenever I wanted to go in that direction, the beauty of Jesus just kept pulling me like a magnet. That is the function of the church. We always think of the fruit of the Spirit individually. But we should understand that Paul doesn't mean it just to be understood individually. The church is to manifest the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace. When they come into this church, it is my prayer through all these coming weeks and months. People come here and they said, we have met with Jesus. We have come to the temple, not to this building, but the temple, which is you. And we have met with Jesus. We were able to become reconciled with God. We were able to know the living God through you. I was sharing with the Jewish couple who were here during the last week, as you know, Evan and Mala. I was sharing with them something about my visit to Hungary last year. The very thought of some of these saints in Hungary bring tears to my eyes. The thought of the beauty of Christ manifested in these saints in Hungary just bring tears to my eyes. After that sharing with the Jewish couple, I was walking back home with Helen, and I said to them that these Hungarian Christians have set such a standard, have given such a manifestation, made so visible to my eyes the person and character of Christ, that I feel that I'm not in their class. I'm not even in their class. I am looking up to them as a standard of excellence, and pray God have mercy upon me that I may reach by the powerful working of a Spirit to something of that beauty and that glory. I am not in their class. Every time I think of Brother Daniel in Hungary, I see his face. And you know, the face of Daniel, this dear brother, just manifested the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the kindness, the self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit just manifested in his face. Oh, it is amazing. And not when he was feeling fit and fine and strong and vigorous. Brother Daniel is about 50, I think. Not in the prime of his youth. And the day he accompanied us to Budapest, I noticed that he hadn't had much sleep. I don't know how he gets much sleep, because this brother has no home. He gave his home away to some poor people. And most of the time he either sleeps in the sofa in the hotel where he works, or on the floor of some Christian family that can spare a corner, because the apartments in Hungary are very small and overcrowded. And that day when he accompanied us to Budapest, I noticed that he was so tired that he struggled to stay awake. But the beauty of Jesus as manifested in him, in his exhaustion and in his tiredness. You know, we do so much better when we had a good night's sleep. We are in a good mood. We feel good. It's easy to be presentable, to be charming, to be charismatic in our behavior. Try it when you're exhausted. And there was dear Daniel. I said, Brother Daniel, where did you sleep last night? And that sweet smile came upon his face. And he looked at me and he said, in a good place. I said, Brother Daniel, where was the good place that you slept? I had a nice sofa last night in the lounge. I said, Daniel, you slept in the sofa all night? Oh, it's very comfortable in the sofa. A man who has nowhere to lay his head, no home to call his own, because the apartment he had, he gave away. But in the tiredness and the exhaustion, how do you sleep in a lobby when people walk in and out? In a hotel lobby, people come and go to 12 o'clock at night, maybe 1 in the morning. And people are coming and going again at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And after a hard day, exactly how do you get enough sleep? And so after a time of sweet fellowship, we were fellowshipping together. I noticed he was tired, so I kept quiet. And he leaned back in a moment, and the next moment he fell asleep. And you know what? That sweet smile was on his face even when he was asleep. That beautiful smile was there on his face when he was asleep, like a little child in sleep. I thought, whether awake or asleep, he still manifests the beauty of Christ. Like, how do you keep up with a brother like this? As Paul says, manifests the life of Christ. Whether by life or by death, Paul says to the Corinthians, the life of Christ shall be manifested in me by the Spirit. Our time is gone. We must close. What is the mission of the church? My dear ones, my beloved brothers and sisters and friends, this is our calling. And let no one here dare to turn away from that calling if you dare to call yourself a Christian. Either do the church and do Christ a favor to stop calling yourself a Christian, or you say, Lord, I cannot live this kind of a beautiful life. But by your grace, by the power of your Spirit, your life will be manifested. Remember the word manifested? The same word as manifested in the flesh. That word manifest makes visible. That is, make your life visible in me. That where I go to work, where I go to school, where I go home, whether I'm here, in Canada, Australia, Singapore, wherever I am, your life will become visible to everyone around me. That is our high calling. That is our mission. That is the beautiful life to which we have been called. And you know what will happen? day will come when you live this kind of life, that people will come to you and say, I bless God for the day I met you. I was walking in darkness, but you made the light of God visible to me. And that light shone up and drove away the darkness in my life. I thank God for the day I met you. Has anybody ever told you that? I thank God that time and again, people have come to me and said just that. And I know it's not me. I have no light. I have nothing in me. As Paul says, this treasure is in this ordinary earthen vessel. The glory is His alone. We have the privilege to convey that light, which is life, the light of life, to others. Let us go forth from today, if we haven't done it before, and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I am your temple. I am your visible body on earth. That people can see your glory. Let us pray.